Well, we're going to begin tonight in Romans chapter number one, and then we're going to be going to Ephesians chapter number four. So you'll want to find those two places. We'll start with Romans chapter number one. We've been looking at how Paul is affirming the gospel of Jesus Christ and his confidence in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we've been looking the last 2 weeks at how Paul's confidence was made real by the performance of the gospel, and that is by what the gospel did in his life and did in the Romans believers' life and other believers' lives, including ours. And we were looking at the gospel of Christ as the basis of our conduct. When we left off last week, we just looked at one point of this, and we saw how the gospel was the basis of Paul's greeting of these believers, his greeting of grace and peace is wrapped up in the gospel. Amen. We get grace, and with that grace comes the peace of God, and we had the peace with God first and the peace of God that comes with that. And then tonight we want to see here in verse number 8, the gospel was the basis of Paul's thanksgiving for the church at Rome. Look at verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Now, that's what the gospel did in their heart and life. Apart from their faith in the gospel and the gospel's effect on them by their faith, there really would have been nothing about them for Paul to give thanks for. Think about that for a minute. Nothing to give thanks for. Before the gospel changed any of our lives, we really weren't anything special. We just weren't. We were pretty much just the same as other lost folks. And we're going to take a look at some things over in the book of Ephesians. We'll be mostly in the book of Ephesians. We'll have you turn one passage over in Colossians, I think, during the message. But mostly going to be in chapter number 4, verse number 17 through 19. And where we find here that Paul described that former walk or former life to the Ephesian church here, and he mentions several things here I think that are important to what we're looking at over in Romans. When Paul is thanking the Lord for what the Lord has done in their life, what the gospel has accomplished in their life, and that their faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Now, we see, first of all, here, and just basically three things I want us to take a look at. And the first thing is the gospel affects the purpose of our walk. Let's go ahead and read verses 17 through 19 here, Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk, not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the former behaviors, what he's talking about, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And that's those would be the main verses that we take a look at tonight as we look at this. I want you to see that the gospel affects the purpose of our walk. Understand, before the gospel, we were walking in the vanity of our mind. That's what we were doing. And that's what he was saying they were doing. They were walking in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened. That word vanity means futility. It's an emptiness. My definition of that vanity is, you know, before we were saved, before God got a hold of our heart, we had a God-sized hole there. We had a God-sized hole. And only God could fill the hole. Amen? And then he came in and he filled that hole with the gospel of Jesus Christ, came and filled that hole. We had got God in our lives. Our thought life was full of vanity back then before the gospel. Psalm 94, verse number 11 says, "The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity." Have you stopped to think about how much that we think about is really to no purpose at all? You know, even in our saved condition, a lot of times we're thinking about things that, you know, really don't need to be thinking about, but much more when we're lost. Now, our purpose for life was full of vanity also. The word vanity, we know, is found repeatedly in the book of Ecclesiastes, as written by Solomon, where he describes life on earth apart from God's purpose being in his life. You know, when you look, take a look, a lot of people, they'll misinterpret the book of Ecclesiastes because they don't understand what Solomon's getting at. Solomon, in that book, he describes how he sought after the things of the world apart from God, and they could bring no satisfaction in his life. It was full of vanity. And you'll see that word vanity throughout there. Living without God and his purpose in one's life looks in vain to find fulfillment elsewhere. I mean, you know, before we were saved, we were looking to the lust of our flesh, the lust of our eyes, and the pride of life for fulfillment. Did any of that fulfill? We had no fulfillment at all. I mean, yeah, we would may have been happy for a moment, or got our lust satisfied for momentarily, but it was just right back. We were looking to fulfill those things, and none of which satisfy. Thus, being full of vanity, and as Solomon would put it, call it vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. And that's the way it is. Before you got saved, all the things that you were involved in, there was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit to it. No profit at all. Ephesians 5, verse 10. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 10. I don't know if we're in Ephesians tonight. Got Ephesians on the mind. But Ecclesiastes 5, verse 10 says, "He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity." I mean, we live in a society where folks are trying to get all they can. Can all they get and sit on the can. I mean, they but their life is empty. Those things do not satisfy their life. And we walked in that vanity ourselves because that's all we knew with our understanding. And when we talk about our understanding, talk about our mind. Our mind was darkened by sin. Now, without the gospel, everything that we were engaged in left us unprepared for death. Think about it. We weren't ready to die. We were unprepared for death and unsatisfied with life. There was no satisfaction, no true satisfaction, maybe satisfaction for a moment, but there was no true satisfaction. And none of the things that we worked for could be taken with us to the grave. You know, that is a life full of vanity. And that's where lost folks are at. Their lives are full of things that, in the end, not going to make any difference in their life. Not going to give them what they're looking for satisfaction, not going to give them any satisfaction. They're looking for fulfillment. There's no fulfillment to be found there. They're looking for life, that abundant life. Well, the abundant life is not there. They think that it's there, but it's not there. Well, what about after the gospel? That's before the gospel. After the gospel, when Jesus comes into one's life, he fills that God-sized hole that nothing else can fill. He gives us the understanding that we lacked by giving us the mind of Christ. As soon as we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we had access to the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16. And that's also the implication of Ephesians 4 there in verse number 20 when he says, "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus." Now, Peter tells us a similar thing as he says in 2 Peter 1:3. He says, according as his divine power, God's divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Think about that. Got everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So that is how we can now walk in the light as he's in the light. The way the Apostle John said there in 1 John 1:7 is that, you know, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, in fact, Christ gives real purpose to life. Now, we know eternal life comes with God's purpose for life, and by it, the possibilities of laying up heavenly treasure as we set our affection on things above, the eternal things, and not on things on the earth, the temporal things. When we were lost, everything was just temporary. All of life's temporary. When you die, you leave it all behind. People pour themselves into their house. People pour themselves into their wealth. People pour themselves into the future of their retirement that they're looking for. None of that stuff can bring any satisfaction, and it doesn't really have a lot to do with our purpose, because when you die, you're going to leave that to somebody else. You're going to leave it behind. You can't take not one thing with you. Look at Ephesians 1 and verse number 3 for just a minute. Ephesians 1 and here in verse number 3, Paul says here, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us, talking about believers, blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ. This is what's available to us in Christ. All spiritual blessings. Amen. He says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now, you know, we were looking for acceptance. You know, we come into this world, we like to be accepted, don't we? I don't know anybody that likes rejection. But, you know, to have to be accepted of God, wow. You know, that's what the gospel did for us. We were accepted in the beloved. We're accepted in Christ. And it goes on to say here, in whom we have redemption through his blood. What a gift that is, amen. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, notice, which he hath purposed in himself. Our purpose is tied with his purpose. And he says that in the dispensation there of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So when we got saved, before we got saved, we didn't have purpose, but after we got saved, we do have purpose. We have God's purpose in our lives. And that purpose is a heavenly purpose, amen. It's the purpose that Paul also told the Colossians in Colossians 3 in verse number 1 through 4. Just a few pages later, he says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things on the earth. Why? Why? Because the things on the earth are temporal. The things above are eternal. Amen. He says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. When we take a look at the life that we had before Christ, what much of a life. But now our life is Christ. He is our life. And we're going to be in glory with Him one day. Amen. As Paul encouraged the church at Philippi to work out the salvation that God had worked within them, he told them this in Philippians 2:13. He says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." God is at work in your life and my life as believers. What a wonderful thought that God is at work in us to fulfill His purposes. So the gospel affects the purpose of our walk. Second thing that we see is the gospel affects the life of our walk. The life of our walk. Think about before the gospel. Before the gospel, we were nothing more than dead men walking. That's what we were. Spiritually, we were dead. Physically, we were alive, though we were in the process of dying. We were. Even then. But back in our text in Philippians 4 in verse number 18, the latter part there of what he says, that we being having a, well, let's go ahead and read the first part too. Having the understanding darkened, here it is, being alienated from the life of God. See, we didn't have God's life, did we? We were alienated. Through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Several things here. Ignorance there. The ignorance that we had was really a willful ignorance by ignoring God's revelation and manifestation of Himself to us. And that's the way the world is. The world that doesn't know Christ, it's a willful ignorance. There's enough that God has placed in His creation for us to know that He is there. Amen. But they say, no, I'll just believe in evolution. You know, like this just happened. You know, it didn't. You know, we can see God's purpose in how He has even designed us. What a wonderful thing. But that ignorance is a willful ignorance. But by ignoring God's revelation and manifestation to them, and thus remaining alienated from the life of God. That word blindness there is talking about a dullness or hardness that resists the light. It's kind of like those of you that have had cataracts. That dullness that resisted light, that didn't allow you to have clear vision. Look at Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians 2 and verse number 1. See, before the gospel, he says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." That was before the gospel. He said, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation or our behavior in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." See, the gospel affected our walk. It affected the life of our walk. We were dead, but He gave us life. Look at verse number 11 and 12 there. He says, "Wherefore remember that ye, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision, the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world." And it's just a terrible thing to not have God in your life, but people don't realize that. They don't realize, you know, what they're missing by not having God there. I mean, John 3:18, they condemned already. I mean, that was the condition before the gospel. Well, what about after the gospel? After the gospel, there, Ephesians 2:1, "You hath He quickened." Amen. "You hath He quickened." Look down to verse number 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, there's that word quickened again, quickened us together with Christ, by grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, and he goes on to say that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Then look at verse 13. He says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Amen. We were far off. We were lost. We were dead in trespasses and sins, but we've been made alive, praise God. We have been given Christ's life. And he's quickened us together with Christ. Made alive is what that word quickened means. And he's raised us up together in Christ Jesus there in verse number 5. Now, both speak of our identification in Christ Jesus. That is pictured by our water baptism. Buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. We were identified in his death. It's not that we get off scot-free for our sins. Our sins were punished in Jesus Christ. We were in Christ. And when we believe on Jesus Christ as our Savior, we become in Christ. And in Christ, Christ suffered for our sins. And he was buried. And he arose the third day. All of that belongs to us as his children. Colossians 2 verse 12 and 13 says, buried with him in baptism, wherein you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And then Romans 6, verse 3 through 5 says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? It's talking about our identification in his death and our identification in his burial and resurrection. Amen. And therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. It's a done deal. We are to already allow him to give us that resurrected life, where we're walking the new man. We're walking the new life. That's what he wants us to do. But he's made us to sit together in heavenly places also in Christ Jesus. Look there at Ephesians 2 in verse number 6. He says, and it hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Let's go back to chapter number 1 and verse number 17. It says here that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Remember, we talked about it being darkened before we got the gospel in our lives, but now we're enlightened. He said that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. He says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. You've got the mighty power of God that works in your life to bring forth salvation, and the working of the mighty power of God that continues to work in your life so that you may live the resurrected Christ life. Look at verse 20, which he's talking about according to his working of his mighty power. Verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Okay, Christ was set there in heavenly places. Well, guess what? We're in Christ. So where are we at? We're as good as there. We're as good as there. We're in heavenly places in Christ. Amen. It's a done deal. Look at verse 21. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. What a blessing. So the gospel affects the purpose of our walk. We see the gospel affects the life of our walk. One other place, I want us to turn to here, though. Forgot I was going to have us turn to Romans chapter 8. Look at Romans chapter 8 for just a minute. I want you to see it being a done deal. I mean, in God's mind, it is done. I know in reality, we're waiting for Him to come back. We're waiting to go home to be with Him. But it is a done deal. It's an unbroken chain that takes place. In Romans 8, look at verse 29. For whom He did foreknow. Talked about the ones who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, was known beforehand who would be in the gospel. Amen. Who would be in Christ. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Guess what? You're going to be just like Jesus one day. Don't you wish it would just hurry up and just let's do that? I mean, this slow process that we're going through right now, you know, as we just step by step, more and more we find ourselves in His image as we grow year by year. Well, one day it's going to be consummated. It's going to be fully that way when we get home to be with Him, not until then. But it says, whom He foreknow, He also be predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse number 30. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Guess what? It's a done deal. You're going to be glorified. Amen? That's an unbroken chain there. And that's why He says there in verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I mean, we know what our end's going to be. We know what it's going to be like when we're with the Lord. Amen? So the gospel affects the purpose of our walk. The gospel affects the life of our walk. And then last of all tonight, I want us to see the gospel affects the nature of our walk. The nature of our walk. Before the gospel, back to Ephesians 4. Okay, Ephesians 4 is our jumping off place here. And it's really the text we're using tonight for these things that we're seeing that do relate to our text there in Romans 1:8. But here in Ephesians 4:19, we see the nature of our walk before the gospel. Verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now that's a whole list of bad stuff right there. Who being past feeling. Think about it this way. Calloused. We were calloused. We become insensitive. And it says, giving themselves over. That means we would deliver ourselves, we surrender ourselves unto the sin. I mean, that's just the way it was. And when He talks about their giving themselves over unto lasciviousness, that lasciviousness is being without moral restraint. We might call it loose or lewd. Uncleanness there mentions. To work all uncleanness with greediness. That uncleanness is impurity, immorality, filth, rottenness. That greediness is a covetousness that's never satisfied. And we see a lot of that in this world, don't we? It's never enough for folks. In other words, what we're looking at here in verse 19, we're looking at a flesh-driven walk. A flesh-driven walk. And it's the same thing as the works of the flesh that are manifest, that are talked about in Galatians 5, verse 19 through 21, where it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. He didn't even finish the list. You know, it's those type things. That was before the gospel. After the gospel, look at Ephesians 4 there and verse number 20. He says, but ye have not so learned Christ. Note that he did not say you didn't learn about Christ. There's a difference. One can learn about Christ and never be saved. I've knocked on the doors of folks tried to share the gospel with them, and they knew all they wanted to know about the Bible, and they could share it with me all kinds of things about the Bible. They didn't have life. They didn't know. They didn't have the gospel that had given them life. Knew a lot about Christ, but didn't know Christ. One can learn about Christ and never be saved. To learn Christ speaks of a personal relationship with Christ, so that we get to know Him better each day in that relationship. You know, we can learn Christ through our personal fellowship in His Word and in prayer. You know, He speaks to us through His Word, and we speak to Him in prayer. And He says, "If so be ye have heard Him," there in verse 21, "and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus." Now listen, the better we understand the Word of God, the better we know the Son of God as believers. Because the whole Bible is a revelation of Jesus Christ. Hey, have you ever been reading through, or maybe you've been sitting in a Bible study and the teacher or the preacher brings forth something that you just never saw that before, and how it related to Christ Jesus? That's the way the whole book is. It's full of things like that. And that's why I love it so much. The whole Bible is a revelation of Jesus Christ. The whole book's about Him. Look at there, verse 22 of our text. "That ye put off concerning former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust." That word conversation, of course, we know it means the way of life. You put off that old way of life, the old behavior, which he says is corrupt. Now, that word corrupt means it's ruined. Ruined. And when we learn Christ, we find that He wants us to put off that old man, that old Adamic man that lives in rebellion. Amen. We're to put off that old man and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Renewed means to make it new again. John 6:63. Jesus said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life." If you want to have your life quickened, it comes through the Word of Jesus. Jesus' Word. They are spirit and they are life. And he says that you hear the verse number 24, "And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." You know, when we learn Christ, we find that He wants not only us to put off the old man, but He wants us to put on the new man. Amen. We do that by our new spiritual nature, the restored and divinely informed leading principle of the mind. You know, we have the divine nature. We're able to understand things we weren't able to understand before. We have God's Holy Spirit living inside. That new spiritual nature, you put on the new man by that. The gospel is at work in the believers' lives, it's made their lives different than they were before, and thus made them thankworthy. You know, think about when Paul said, "I thank my God for you all." What made them thankworthy? It was the gospel. The gospel. What makes us thankworthy? I thank God for you all. You know, what makes you thankworthy? What the gospel has done in and through your life. Later in Paul's letter, he gives us some more details about their faith. I mean, that gospel made such a dramatic change in their lives that folks throughout the then known world were talking about the faith of the Roman believers. But later, he says in Romans 6, verse 17 and 18, he says, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin." They were no longer the servants of sin. But it says, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. What's he talking about? The gospel. He said, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. You were the servants of sin, but now you're the servants of righteousness because of what? Because of the gospel, the work of the gospel in their lives. That is the kind of change the gospel can make and should make in folks' lives. Can make and should make in our lives too, amen? What kind of difference has he made for you? Is it a difference that folks see and are thankful for? I hope so, amen? It ought to be that way as believers. We ought not to walk, as he told the Ephesian believers, don't walk like those old Gentiles used to walk. You know, you walk in the newness. You got the new man. Walk in that new man the way that you should. The first thing that comes is the salvation by God's grace through faith. And when that's salvation by grace through faith, we have His Holy Spirit living within. We have the mind of Christ. It gives us an understanding and gives us all that we need with that divine nature. We've got everything we need in our lives to live a righteous and holy life that is pleasing to the Lord. Let's pray. Father,